Like I say, good morning to everyone, especially those of you who are on the call, not members of Church of Christ. You're very honored guests. And appreciate you being on our call. And those who are visiting with us from other congregations, thank you so very much. We believe in the Church of Christ that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. So open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 19. We'll be completing our study of that chapter on this morning. We believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross. That he shed his blood and washed his sins away in baptism. The same blood purchased the church that you can read about in the Bible. The only one that is the Church of Christ. When you obey the gospel, the Lord then will add you to the church where we sing. Without the help of mechanical instruments and music, we will pray, give, take collection, take communion every Sunday. Not only the first Sunday of the month, but every Sunday. And we're here to preach the word. So this morning, we hope if you're on the call and you're not a member of church, you'll make that decision and that noble confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be baptized, and the Lord, allow the Lord to add you to his body, the church. Now, this morning, I'd like to go a little different from usual. I want to start at verse 1 in Acts chapter 19. So we'll do some reading. Just follow along with me. Kind of walk you up to the progression to this man named Demetrius. That's the name of a sermon title. A man named Demetrius. Led up to the confusion that was there in that, and the whole city was filled with confusion. There's a reason for that. And remember in chapter 1, we started 19, we talked about the people there, and we'll get to that in just a second. Let's start at verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. That's important. No, this is in the city of Ephesus. When you look at the Bible, you read the book of Ephesians, that was wrote to the Christians that was in Ephesus, the city of Ephesus. Finding certain disciples, this city will soon be filled with confusion, not long after the Apostle Paul will come to town. And he said unto them, verse 2, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto him, John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which shall come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul and laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, all the men were about 12. So here we learn in lesson 1 of 19, the 12 men had to get baptized again. They had had a baptism, but they had to get baptized again because they had the wrong teaching. And go back to that lesson, and you can listen to the whole details I gave on that. But this proved that they were taught wrong and had to be taught again. That was the emphasis I put on that lesson. Now, in verse 8, he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued but a space of 2 years. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto him, unto the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them. Evil spirits went out of them. And then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew, the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, not Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit, was leaped on them and overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Now, that was the second lesson. I taught how that evil spirit, you can see the evil spirit took over the man's body and just whipped them folk who didn't have no respect for them. We talked about that. And this proved, I proved from that text, from that sermon, that none of us can win over the evil spirit. unless the evil spirit know us, because we have obeyed God. Now, I proved, according to the scripture, that only those who obey the truth can have obeyed the Holy Spirit and receive the gift of eternal life. Remember, the 12 men earlier, you remember him? We just talked about 12 men that had been baptized and had not received the Holy Spirit because they didn't know the truth. I talked about how that was a laying on the hands, a miraculous form of the Holy Spirit. But those of us who get baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that is eternal life. And you can only get eternal life if you obey what the Holy Spirit told you to obey. So it's not something that God don't come and force upon you. You have to make a decision. Now, what is the obvious question? How do you know if you obey the truth or not? Well, let's see if the answer comes later in this text. Verse 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus. Fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Now, what did they believe, first of all? They believed what Paul was preaching about Jesus, which included baptism based on truth. It's like the 12 men had to be taught truth before they were saved. So, again, there was these 12 men that they believed what Paul was teaching. So what did they confess? They had to confess. They believed what he teach, what they believed about Jesus. Otherwise, none would know. What must we believe today? We must believe the same thing. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He to come to God must believe. So there's a belief required. Believe that God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, and that son died on the cross. So what must we confess? Our belief in Jesus as the Son of God. In Acts 8:37, the eunuch was taught by Philip, and Philip taught him in Acts 8:35 by Jesus. And after he went on his way, they came up certain water. He said, see, here's water. What does hinder you from baptizing me? So when Philip preached Jesus to him, he knew he had to be baptized. And when we preach Jesus, we preach baptism for the remission of sin. And Philip said, if you believe. And then he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So there's the confession, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, look at what happens in verse 19, we'll see repentance. So if you think about the plan of salvation, for those of us in the church, God, who know, we heard, we believe, we repent, we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we're baptized. So we see here that they believe. We see here that they made the confession. And we see here that they got baptized. So now, where did repentance come in? Look at verse 19. Many of them also, which use curious arts, bought their books together and burned them, notice that, before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, here are what they had been taught from. They had been taught from these books. And notice they burned them. They saw that these books was misleading. They know now that God, what Paul taught, that what they had been taught was not true. So books of curious arts, man-written books that taught about witchcraft, magic, and their old traditions, like the son of Sceva, were conducted in verse 11 through 15. So I'm going to show this morning some books today written by men that need to be burnt up. And people are following and clinging to these books, what's written in these books, these traditions and these doctrines. These books are written by men today. As I said, they need to be burnt up, just like these folks. People are not going to burn these books until they realize these books don't have nothing to do with their salvation. So mightily, verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. See, the word of God, the Bible, will always prevail over man-made teaching or doctrines of truth. It will always prevail for those who are seeking truth. Let's remember, no matter how much we love our loved ones, or friends, or family, or acquaintances, or whatever relationships they are, if that person, he or she, do not believe in the Bible as being 100% accurate from God, they won't believe in baptism. They won't believe in the one church. It don't matter what you say. Their belief didn't come from the Bible. If a person believed in any church would do, that didn't come from the Bible. If a person believed they can just pray a sinner's prayer and be saved, that didn't come from the Word of God. And that's what we need to know in the Church of Christ. Some of us fret over that stuff. Look here, until this soul, the person who is, you want so much to be saved, until they conclude in their mind that what they believe did not come from the Word of God, the devil will prevail. But when the Word of God grows in their minds, the Word of God will prevail over anything we ever been taught that was wrong. That's how many of us who are members of the church right came out of denominational churches that prayed sinners' prayer, took the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday. We worshiped with those instrumental music, clapping and waving our hands. And all those things we did, calling a man reverend, those kind of things didn't come from this book called the Bible. I'm going to talk about that. Only when one obeys the gospel, the truth according to the scriptures, can he or she be saved. Now, here is the reality, brothers and sisters, and to those listening, friends, family. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:13-14. And now here's what I want to say to members of the Church of Christ. If you don't believe this, you're in the same category of the person who in the world. But you got to believe this. In Matthew 7:13, Jesus said this. Any enter the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many, he says, will go that way. And straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And then he said this. Few, there will be to find it. Now, how many people you think are going to be saved at the end of the day? You say, well, many are going to be saved, brother. A lot of good people in the world. That's not what Jesus said. See, your belief is flawed. Because you believe what you want to believe. You're not believing what the Lord said. How you know that, brother? Well, he said it, Matthew 7:21. Keep reading it. The same thing was happening then. Jesus came back and confronted him. Matthew 7:20 said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out devils? And done many wonderful work. Does this not sound like good people? If you're honest, you have to say yes. They did many wonderful works. What kind of works are those? Like going to the nursing home, going to the hospital, feeding the homeless. Those are good works. But watch verse 23. Check your belief on this one. Jesus said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Good people? Lord, you're talking about good people. They called you Lord. Yes, I am. What happened? Their belief was not according to the Word of God. We say you're workers of iniquity, meaning you believe what you wanted to believe. You didn't believe the law of God. That's what it's coming down to. I want everybody to be saved too, but I've come to a reality that everybody's not going to be saved. It's a reality. You got to face that everybody's not going to be saved. Only few. That's what the Lord said. That's what we believe. We believe that 100%. Now, verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. Paul is thinking about leaving Ephesus. But something is getting ready to happen in this city that Paul needs to be there for. He's getting ready. He want to go on to Rome, see. I must see Rome. He's trying to get there, but something's getting ready to happen. Paul's going to have to take care of some things here. See, God always have a plan, you all. No matter what's going on in our life, God got a plan. We may have our own plan, but God got his plan for our life. And we got to remember that. that sometimes God is using us to help other people. I believe that the pandemic, that God is a provision from God to get 600 to 800 people to listen to me on Sunday morning, which could have never happened if we still had been in that building. Hundreds of thousands of people have listened to our program for over a year. I'm not talking about 10 or 15. We're talking about hundreds of thousands. Across the United States, into Canada, into Alaska, into Japan. Did God provide that for the world? Did God provide this opportunity? Did he send everybody down in their homes and people start listening? They were not coming to the building. They're on the call this morning. Count yourself in that number if it's true. If it's true and you can count yourself in that number, then God provided for you. That's called the providence. That's called being providential. God providentially hindered you from going to clubs and partying. He shut down clubs. He shut down bars. He sent people to the house. He gave you only the TV. And he put death on the TV for you to watch. And he gave us the opportunity to come into your house through a phone line. Many people see the pandemic as negative. I see it as providential. I believe it's going to be the greatest restoration in the first century, since the first century. Because there are thousands of people who are listening to God, have sit down. Many on this call have restored, repented, and had to listen to the word of God for a year through their phone at home, but they would never got up to get out of that bed to go to the building. But because of the convenience, somebody said, well, that's just a person who's, now God provides. God provides for people when he know they need it. And there's some of you on the call who needed to know that you were forsaking the assembly, you were not worshiping, you were not taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, you were not giving. And we see, even in our giving, we see people give. Not that we see your name necessarily, but the giving, the numbers have gone up. We have not missed a beat. Contributions are up. Attendance is up. What's going on? Is this negative? The pandemic was God's way of sending the world a message. This thing went all across the world. And I want you to think in terms of, what did it do for you? Did it bring you closer to God? Brother Brooks, I lost my job. I got the COVID. I was on a ventilator. Let me ask you a question, though. Are you closer to the Lord? Do you hear more of the word now? Are you more spiritual now? Have you been reaching out to other people now? Have you invited people to listen with you? Would you have done that before the pandemic? Now, do compare and contrast. Go back to what you was before the pandemic and look at who you are now. I give you mine. Mine is this. I've been to school for a year, free. Free tuition. I went to Mentor School of Preaching. I've been to Florida School of Preaching. I've been to Brown Trail School of Preaching. I have been to all these school of preaching that's been on our program. And we had their directors on, Global Broadcasting Network, very highly educated men, humble. We've had all their students on. We've had their teachers on. And so if you view the year like I'm viewing it, you went to school. Now, go back before the pandemic. Would any of us have gone to school? Would any of us had a chance to hear from all of these instructors, from all of the Sound Bible School of Preaching? I'm not talking about schools like Southwestern. I'm not talking about the big school, all of schools is doing everything other than Abilene Christian College. No, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about sound schools with sound preachers and sound teachers. That's what I'm talking about. Like Brother Colley. Like we've heard of all the brothers across the nation. Let's just say it like that. We would have never got to hear those men. But you did. Can you count your blessing that God allowed you to hear the word of God for 30 minutes every night? So what are you saying, brother? I just put emphasis here that when God has a plan, the plan will benefit us. All things work together for good to them that love God and call according to his purpose. So Paul is thinking about leaving Ephesus, but something's getting ready to happen here. Look, let's go back to verse 23. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. And a certain man named Demetrius, this is the emphasis of this lesson today. This man named Demetrius, a servant talent. Watch what happened because of this one man, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana. Brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth." Notice this emphasis. The craft, the job they done. That's how they make money. Moreover, you see and hear, and not that not alone at Ephesus, also throughout all Asia. Notice what we point out. Paul, this is the man of God, have persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods, which have made with him. So he's saying Paul has messed us up. Verse 27, so that not only in our craft, there it is, back to the work, and is our craft, this our craft is in danger, but said it be said it not, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, where her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. When they heard these things, that this man, Demetrius, was saying, when people heard these things that this man said, they were full, they got upset. They were full of wrath and cried out saying, "Great is Diana in Ephesians, of the Ephesians." And look at verse 29. Because of what this one man said, the whole city was filled with confusion. What? And have caught Gaius, or Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel. They rushed in one accord into the theater. Let me bring it to your attention now. Notice this man, Demetrius, his words, his statements, has the city confused, the whole city, and in an uproar. But notice what it's not about their souls. It's not about the saving of their soul. It's not about soul salvation. He didn't say nothing about that. This man's main point of his argument is this: money. Watch what he said. Our wealth is in danger, not our soul. Our craft, that's what they were doing. The silversmith, he knew if they believed Paul, he was going to go out of business. If they couldn't build these silver shrines, they would not make no more money. So this man is all upset because Paul is tapping into his income. You know, and I know that the Bible teaches that the root of all evil is what? The love of money. The love of money. That's what's going on in this world. The love of money is going to cause many people to be lost. Basic things like people who put their job before God. They work two or three jobs to get more money, but they never give God their best. They'll go to college and spend 4 years, 12 years in high school, 4 years in college, then go for their master, go for the PhD, and get 4.0 average, 3.8, 4.0s. But when you ask them about the Bible, they get a big fat F. If you view last year, this year like I did, then how much education did you miss out on and why? Was your job, your career, and the things that you focused on had nothing to do with the saving of your soul? Had to do with your craft and your income. Now, here's how I know that I'm on point here. I know people. And you, if you're honest, you know people. People, we do what's important to us, y'all. If studying was important to you, if learning about what God's word, you would make that the priority. And it would be just as important as going to work. I'm not suggesting that education is important. But what are the priorities? What education? Well, the most important information that we can receive and be educated about is what happens after we die. What can affect my eternal life? What must I do to put God first? I appeal to you to think about it. If you're listening, if you really are listening because you want to be saved, evaluate your priorities. Because you may be in this category found in 1 Timothy 16. For the love of money, not the money itself. You can have money. It's not a problem. Many, many rich people, like such as Abraham. But he didn't love money more than he did God. He said, Paul says, which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They left the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So what I'm saying right now to us is this. I'm putting emphasis on what this man's real focus was and trying to get you to paradigm shift. I mean, rise above your view. Some people believe they're saved because they are prospering. Because you got your nice car, you got a nice home, you have a family, you got a good income, and things look good. Those are temporal things. Having money, being prosperous in life, is not an indicator that you are saved. Now you know that, brother. Luke 16. Lazarus and the rich man. The poor man was Lazarus. The dog licked the sores. They were his nurses. The rich man had nurses, came in, took care of him. This poor man was a beggar. He didn't have food. You would think, looking at him, man, God must really be. No, no, no. See, because when you look at these kind of things, you look at being with the money and really being blessed. You hear that denomination word, highly favored. Less than highly favored. Why are they saying that? Look at what he drives. Oh, he's really blessed. That's how God sees. Blessings are this. Spiritual blessings. Have you been forgiven of your sins? Are your prayers heard by God? Ephesians chapter 1. Have you been washed in the blood? Are you ready for that death date? Are you ready for the day that they lay your pillow, your head on the dying pillow? That's what's most important. Nobody carries the money with them into the graveyard. You don't ever see a U-Haul behind a hearse carrying none of their belongings with them. They only bury the body. If you're not careful, the undertaker understands you put a lot of jewelry on the dead person. They wait for everybody to leave and they take it off. He won't need that where he's going. So is this a serious matter? Yeah, because I believe a majority of Christians have not put God first. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, if you really on the call today and you're really trying to make sure I'm okay with the Lord, then you got to say to yourself, you got to repent. If you have not been putting God first, if you put them jobs and these crafts and this money and stuff before the Lord, then what example are you teaching your children? They sin. They know when you put God first. They know if you've been listening to the Word of God. They know if you've been studying. They know what's most important to you. What are your sons going to say to their dad? What was most important to my dad? What's your daughter going to say? What's most important to my mom and dad? Were they faithful to the Lord? Did they seek Him first? Were they very involved in seeking the Lord? These are the kind of questions you have to answer. Now, let's go back to verse 30 so I can apply the rest of this message, my confusion. This is what I'm really talking about. But this is a good chance to really put emphasis on this guy like Demetrius and see how easy it is to get caught up in this kind of stuff. And we can lose our souls because our priorities are wrong. Let's go back to verse 30. When Paul would have entered unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. A certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and another, some another. But assembly was confused. See that? And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the mother tomb. The Jews put him forward. And Alexander beckoned with his hand. Can you see this man? They went and got Alexander. He's beckoning with his hand. This place is in uproar. People are confused. So here comes Alexander. And he's making his defense unto the people. He's saying, quiet down. Let me tell you what's going on. But when they knew he was a Jew, all one voice about a space or two, I cried out, great is Diana of Ephesus. These people were worshiping Diana. And this guy, Demetrius, has refocused them on what Paul is taking away from them. But when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell from Jupiter? Seeing then these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. He tried to calm them down. You have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers nor churches, nor yet blasphemers of your God. He said, y'all know who y'all worship. Why y'all getting all upset over these men? These guys, they kind of protected, kind of come to Paul. They not robbing the churches. He said they're not even blaspheming your God. Now we're at verse 38. As Alexander come and try to calm things down, look at verse 38. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them plead one another. Now he identified. The problem child is the man, this one man named Demetrius. Not Paul. Because you ought to know what he basically saying. You ought to know what you believe. You know that the Ephesians, we worship the great God of Diana. What y'all are upset about? And the image that fell down from Jupiter. So he said, well, if Demetrius have a matter against Paul and them, or any man, the law is open. And there are deputies. Let them plead one another. And he's basically saying, it's not the preaching of Jesus that's causing this confusion. How do you know that, brother? Because the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Look at this in verse 39. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. He said, y'all need to calm down. If they've done something illegal, we'll deal with them. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, this rioting, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this calling. Why are you guys in such an uproar over this? And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. So this town clerk, we would call him a mayor kind of guy, man, he quieted the crowd down by simply saying, we'll just go to court. We'll take it to the law. This is a legal matter that this man Demetrius raising. It has nothing to do with religion. It's not a religious matter about soul salvation. He's saying this guy is saying he's taking our money. This guy gonna take our money. He's dealing with our craft. And so Demetrius was concerned about losing money. Now, so how do you apply this lesson today as I head toward a close? In America and the world, there's religious confusion. Y'all know it. People are confused about what to do to be saved. They're confused about which church to go to. Men are confused. Is there any God? Which God is it? Is it Allah? Is it Buddha? Is it Muhammad? They don't understand. They don't know. They believe something. Where did all these churches come from in America? A church on every corner, everywhere you go, a building with a different name on it. You got Mount Moriah, Mount Zion, you got Baptist, you got Methodist, you got Catholic, you got Presbyterian, you got Pentecostal. You name it. Hundreds of them. Where did they come from? What happened? Why are people confused? That's the first thing when you teach people about it. See, we teach you what it is to be saved. Well, I'm confused because my grandmother said this. I'm confused now. The confusion is not because of God. It's not God. Why did we get all split up in the world? Who did it? Now remember what happened in Ephesus was this man, Demetrius, stood up and confused everybody. Took their attention off of Paul was teaching and put their attention on what he was saying. Now the focus is uproar. Many are confused in religion and do not understand why. And this is why it's important that members of Hollow Heights ought to feel blessed to be at a congregation where we're still putting emphasis on these matters. Look at the results we got. That somebody has to go back and say, hey, Church of Christ, we left the book. We don't supposed to be bass micing and beatboxing and praise dancing. Shouldn't be no women elders and women preachers. Remember what they done. We got to go back and point it out. We can't just go along and get along. Remember, just can't. Some of these preachers, they're my friends, but they have left the faith. They have left the truth, and I'm not going with them. And for the last year, we presented hundreds of preachers who still hold to the truth. They have not left it. They're not doing those things. But when you start seeking money, other ways to get more people into the building, which would never happen under my leadership in Hollow Heights, we won't do things to appease the people, to bring more people into the building. It's not about that. It's about those of few that are trying to be saved, stay with the way God told us to worship, and that is we sing. We will not play pianos and guitars and bass mic and beatbox. We're not becoming emotional. We're trying to learn what must we do to be saved. That's what we must be known as. You want to sound doctrine congregation? Somebody that stays with the truth? That's the label we want. We want that. We don't go along. Brother Brooks ain't one of them. Hey, I'm not going to get called on that on the citywide lectureship here in Houston. Why? Because they know I don't agree with a lot of things they're doing. They're not going to call me. That's okay. That's a good label for me. That's what I want. Understand, you call me, I'm going to preach against a lot of stuff that we're doing wrong. The people have left the faith. Souls are being lost. That's in the church. Remember, they erred what Paul said in 1 Timothy. I just read it about the love of money. Caused them to leave the truth. So if we do things to bring people in, like, for example, here's another one. Like, if somebody said, well, I was baptized for the remission of my sins, you know, when I was a young man in the Baptist church, I've been baptized already. They said, well, good, you're saved. Come on in. You're a member of the church. Well, what comes with him, when preachers say stuff like that, what comes with that person who said they were saved in the beginning, when they first got baptized, that comes some money with it. See, a lot of churches are in the business to make money. It's craft. It's craft. It's about money. The more members, the more money. Can't we see this? That's what's going on. That's when people leave the truth to get more money in, for the love of money. It's the root of all evil. That's something we need to keep in mind. That's something we need to understand. That's something we must not ever forget. Our leadership must stay focused. We get caught up in the same thing. We cannot do it. That's important. That's why I'm spending time on it. Because you can see the danger of this. We can see. Look, I'm talking about, so the bishop is on the call. I want you to hear me talk directly to the Church of Christ. Because if I only say this for you so you can consider your beliefs, if you think there are more churches, more people going to be saved outside of the one church, I want you to know this. The people who left the one church were members of the Church of Christ. They started a lot of this stuff. It had to be because there was only one. So the Bible said that spirits speak expressly, and a lot of times some shall depart from the faith. What I'm saying, many who left the true church, according to 1 Timothy 1:16, the love of money causes them to err from the faith. They coveted after the money. And they preachers turn into, this is my job. This is how I feed my family. This is how I get another car. This is how I get a bigger house. So I wear a robe, but that makes the people happy. I let them call me reverend. I let them call me doctor. If they want to elevate me, they're going to give me a raise. They're going to give me more money. See what I'm saying? That's how it happens. If Brother Brooks can get like that, I want more money. I just do whatever I got to do to get more people. You get more people, get more money. And you get a leadership that believes like you, they'll let you go along with it. So that's what happened in the Church of Christ. Now I'm coming to the denomination world, so if you're visiting, you can't say I'll beat up on you because I'm beating up on the Church of Christ first. And even today I would warn you about what Church of Christ building you go into. And I hope some of you on the call are from these congregations that I'm talking about because you need to consider this. What are you a part of? Because remember, the blind leading the blind, they both go down together. They both fall in the ditch. Now, this sermon ain't going to make you shout. But this here might save your soul if you listen carefully. Look at this. Here's the problem in the world, denomination world. Here's the answer to why America is confused. Here's why we see homosexuality just being promoted as okay, same-sex marriage. Folk are just saying, hey, some believe, some don't believe. It's okay, no matter what you believe. As long as you're good. Really? So God didn't make man for woman. He didn't make male and female. That's off the table now. We want to call a man mom and another man daddy. We got one woman mama and the other woman daddy. Y'all know that's warped. That is not from the book. And we said, man, our kids are going to be confused. Well, it won't be because God confused. It's going to be because the other books that are being written. People are writing these books. They're sharing their experiences. Have you read so-and-so book and what he experienced? You know, he went through this and he saw heaven, or he or she write about how good God been to them, how blessed they are, and they're not members of the Church of Christ. They weren't baptized in remission of sin, but you believe that book, you believe, man, that had to be God. Or you believe somebody's testimony, say, man, I know you say, God, don't hear my prayer, but let me tell you what happened to me. One day I was down or whatever. They gave you some testimony. And then you come back and say, well, you know, maybe God did hear them. They gave you a testimony, statements from their mouth, that you credited to God doing what he said he wasn't going to do. Can't you see what's happening here? And so they write that in a book, and people believe it. There are books that many people don't know about. They don't know where their belief came from. I'm gonna share them with you. I'm gonna share them with you. I'm gonna give you some of the basic ones that people don't. They don't even know. I didn't know that there was only one church in the Bible growing up. I didn't know that. Did you? Because I never read it. It wasn't something we didn't read the Bible. But we had some Bibles at home. And tornadoes came. We opened them up, lay them on the bed. I remember my daddy doing that. But I don't never remember him reading the Bible to me. He said, son, there's one church in here now. We got to do what God told us. I don't remember that. My dad was a good man. Not my good. I mean, he was a great man. Later on in life, he obeyed the Bible. But when I was growing up, we didn't talk about that. The Bible was the book that kind of got dusty in our house. It was respected. I mean, it was scary because you had the big old book, big old Bible. Some of y'all might know about them. When you turn back to Revelation, it had a big old lion on it. And I got scared looking at that book. I'd put it down and get back to that back before it scared me. Man, with all these horns coming off his head and everything, that was a scary book. Book of Revelation. Well, we had those at home. My grandmother had one of those big old books. Big book. Big old Bible. But did we learn from it what we had to do to be saved? Or did we just respect it because it had some significance to it? It was a very special book. Well, the reason I'm saying this is this. There are books that we didn't know about. Now, I'm going to give you one of them. This is the largest religious organization under the umbrella of Christianity called the Catholic Church. There's a book called the Catechism. The Catholic Church started around 606 A.D. Now, I'm reminded that the Bible, the church and the Bible was around A.D. 33, right when Jesus died. When he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I'm going to build a church. The scripture declared that he built that one church by blood. He purchased it with his own blood, Acts 20:28. And the scripture declares that there is one church, one body, Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. And the scripture declares that Jesus is the head of the church, the one body, the one church, Colossians 1:18. Now, you can't get confused over one. You only get confused when another one comes in the picture. So the first one that came into the picture was the Roman Catholic Church, the largest Christian, quote-unquote, church, supposedly, was not started in Jerusalem. It was not by Jesus. It was in Rome. Boniface III started that church. That's book number one. They didn't burn up the catechism. The one to tell the Pope is the Papa of the church. He's the vicar of the church. I mean, he stands instead of another. He's a vicar of Christ. So, I mean, he's Christ on earth. And you know, that's sad. He's Christ on earth to those people. If you're on the call today, you're Catholic. This is not a put down on. This is educational. Go back and you can look it up. Use Wikipedia. Find it. China origin. Say who started it. It's going to tell you. Book number two. The Lutheran Church started in Germany, 1520 A.D. Martin Luther founded it in Germany. And what in Jerusalem? That's not church in the Bible. The Episcopalian Church, started by Henry VIII in England, 1534 A.D. The Presbyterian Church, started in Switzerland, by John Calvin. Remember, one man, Demetrius. One man, John Calvin. One man, Boniface III. One man, Robert Brown, in 1550 started the Congregational Church. One man in 1607 A.D. is going to hit home for many people on this call. In Holland, one man, John Smith, started the Baptist Church, which I called myself a Baptist up to the age of 24 when I went to the Church of Christ and heard the truth for the first time in my life, where I was listening for the truth. If you're listening for the truth this morning, you'll hear that if you're in a Baptist church, you're under Demetrius. You're confused because of Demetri. You're confused because of John Smith. He started this, not God. You say, I'm Methodist, Brother Bruce. Well, John Wesley is your man. In 1739 A.D., in England, John Wesley started the Methodist Church. So, that's your Demetrius. He started. Now, you say, well, Brother Brooks, what are we doing? I'm telling you, confusion was not started by God. All these churches we have, Joseph Smith started the Latter-day Saints, the Mormon church we know. William Miller started the Adventist Church. Mary Baker Eddy started the Christian Scientist Church. Charles T. Russell started the Jehovah's Witnesses. That didn't come. And the book they got need to be burned. I'm going to show you the book. Now, the Catholic got the book called the Catechism. The Methodist got a book called the Methodist Discipline. The Baptist people, Baptists got a book called the Baptist Manual. None of us know about that book. But the pastors do. They got it. That's what they teach from. They don't teach from the Bible. They got that Baptist Manual to tell them what to tell people to do to be saved. That's when they say, we're going to vote. We're gonna accept you in all eyes, yeas and yeas and yeas and yeas. Okay, here's how you be saved. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Right now in your heart. That was Joel Osteen and them still teaching this stuff. And then they started other churches like that one. Potter's House. Joel Osteen. Lakewood. Ain't no Lakewood Bible. Ain't no Lakewood in the church in the Bible. That's Joel's church. And he's teaching whatever you want to teach. Yeah, he'll refer to the Bible every once in a while. That's what they do. And it confuses people. Why? How you can refer to the Bible and teach what you're teaching, Joel? You can't. You're just a Demetrius. And then the Seventh-day Adventist got another book. It said, if you read there, it said, a Latter-day Saint, another book. They put it on the front page as another book. At least they're honest. And then the Jehovah's Witnesses, they got the New World's translation. It's showing up confusion because you think it's the real Bible. You think, man, they got the same Bible. No, they don't. No, they don't. It's not the same Bible. This book called New World's Translation was done by the Watchtower Society. That was some more than other men back in 1950. They started translating it the way they wanted to read and what they wanted it to say, that Jehovah is God, and Jesus is a little G God, and you go to John, go get one of them, you go to John 1:1, and you read King James Version like we got, and you read there, you'll see it go from a big G to a little G. And they did that intentionally. And there's a lot of things they changed in that Bible. Just like today, we have what we call a Queen James Bible. You might not know about that. But though, for those who are homosexuals and those who want to make the Bible read so it's in their favor, they went back and changed it. It's called a Queen James Bible. Go Google it. It's out there. A QJV. Queen James. Not King James no more. Queen. Brother, sister, we're in trouble. The world is in trouble. Because of men like Demetrius. But should we be surprised? Well, no, not if we see it happen when Paul was living. Paul was right there and witnessed this stuff. When Paul was preaching with Jesus, Demetrius came back talking about craft and money. Let us not get caught up in that. What do we believe in the churches of Christ? What should you believe before your head pressed the dying pillow, brothers and sisters? You better get back to the Bible. Remember the church first. You better think about what you're doing. Think about your priorities. See if you're putting God first. Make sure you ain't putting them crafts and money together first. And to the people in the church who may be confused, well, maybe we are not right. You're an unbeliever. You better get back to believing that the Bible is right. Stop questioning it. Don't question it. And don't believe testimony. Because somebody said something good happened to them. That don't mean God hears sinners now. It doesn't mean that. It means you never believed it. If you were on the call, you believe Christians in every church building out here. You don't believe the Bible. The Bible says the Lord added to the church daily. Says you shouldn't be saved. Acts 2:47. The saved in the church. What church? The Church of Christ. How you know? That's what the book says. Find another book. Then it'll tell you the church, the Christians in the church. But this book won't tell you that. So where did that belief come from? a man influenced you, and your soul is in danger. You're in danger. But what else don't you believe? You don't think you need to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? You don't think you have to be in worship every Sunday? Do you believe you can give whatever you want to give? You don't believe? You got a problem. So is America confused? Is the world confused? Yeah. Why are they confused? Men. All America filled with confusion. All the world filled with confusion. You don't have to be confused. This is my message this morning. None of us have to be confused. All we got to do is decide, is this book right? And once you come to that conclusion, all confusion goes out the window. And guess what you will do? Stop questioning. You just start saying, okay, that's what it said. That's what it said. That's what it said. Yes. Now, what are you today? We just heard this morning a sad story, a young man, 30-some years old, one of the elders, Tiff Moore's son, went to the doctor, went to urgent care, then he came back home, went to the hospital, the way I understand it, came back home. Next day, his parents found him in the apartment dead, 30-some years old. That brother and sister, look here. None of us know when that moment is going to come. What moment are you talking about, brother? The day our tongues are silenced by death. And there's no more opportunity to get right. Now, those who are asked to evaluate, if you're on the call today, you know you haven't done it. You haven't put God for it. You ought to repent. You ought to repent and ask God to forgive you. You know, for the members of the church, we simply repent in our mind. We say, man, I'm going to do better. So I did compare and contrast what I was before the pandemic, who I am now to them people, but I never repented for who I was. But so if you wasn't coming to worship, you wasn't doing the things that you were doing now, you still haven't made your confession. You need to. You need to confess. I'm back. That's called restoration. I'm coming home, Lord. I'm home. Thank God. That's your blessing right there. He gave you a chance. He gave you life. Now, if you're on the call, you haven't taken advantage of that. Why wouldn't you do it this morning? Come home. Repent of your sin. We don't care about what you're doing. It's not our business about what sin you committed. But you need to make, Bible said, confess your fault one to another. He said, if we confess our sin, he's just to forgive us. 1 John 1. Brother Stroud is studying that now. 1 John, you're going to enjoy that this afternoon. Further study on this is coming. So we try to, is this Galatians 6 1? If a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore. Restoration is required. Repentance is required. Reconciliation is required. Come home, sisters, brothers. If you're in those congregations, you get out. Find your congregation and serve. I'm not suggesting you come to us. I mean, that's not promoting us as your choice. But choose a place that's worshiping according to the scripture. That's what I'm suggesting. And then to visitors, if you're on the call today, you say, Brother Brooks, I prayed the sinner's prayer. I accepted my pro se a long time. But God never told you to accept your pro se. He told you, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, Jesus said this in Mark 16:15-16. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice what he said. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. That's what he said. In Matthew 28:18, he said, go teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Matthew 16:18, it says, upon this rock I will build my church. In Romans 16:16, the Bible says, salute one another, holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. In Acts 2:47, it says, praise God, have faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So to say they're in the church of Christ. Ephesians 4:4 says, there's one church. To say, if you're not in the church of Christ, you're not saved. You say, well, I was baptized before. I show you in Acts 19, if you listen to me. People were taught wrong, and they had to get baptized. Again. You could be baptized 10 times wrong, but there's only one true baptism. Ephesians 4:4-6. There's one baptism, one God, one Jesus. If you believe one Jesus, you believe one baptism. What baptism is that? 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. By one spirit, or we're all baptized into one church. There it is. Which church? Church of Christ. You heard me. So if you're not in church, Christ, you're not saved. That baptism is no good. It just got wet. But if you heard the truth this morning, you want to be a number called the few, then you'll do like the people in Ephesus did. They, number one, they heard the gospel. What is the gospel, brother? This love story of God loving you, his son giving his life for you. His son, he lived about 33 years. That's why we got 80, 33 at the beginning of the church. He was mocked. He was bruised. He was beaten. He was whipped with a whip. He was doing all this to give you this chance. They put the tree of the cross on his back, led him up the hill of Calvary. And there they executed him by crucifixion. It was God's love for you that he would send his son. It was his son's love for you that he would go to this cross. And on that cross is where he shedded his blood. And that blood, according to Revelation 1:5, will wash away your sins. That blood purchased his church. Listen to Revelation 1 and verse 5. The Bible says this. From Jesus Christ, who was the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, how we know he loved us, because he died on the cross, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Then you say, Brother Brooks, how did I know that's what it says? Do you believe blood will wash your sins away? You ain't going to see no blood in the water. But the Bible says it's in there. Faith comes by hearing. We walk by faith, not by sight. You ain't going to see no blood. You got to believe it. You got to believe what was in the Bible. And then once you believe that, then you'll believe everything else. You hear the gospel that Jesus suffered, bled, and died for you. Suffered, I'm telling you. He suffered. And God commended love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ would die. And then he took him down off that cross and buried him in a tomb. And he got up on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, as we worship him today. That's why we worship on Sundays. The day of the resurrection. And he the one gave the command of what to tell people to do to be saved. Not Job. Not Boniface III. Not John Smith. None of those. Not Demetrius. None of those. Jesus gave the command. And so if you believe that, repent of your sin. Make that change this morning. Say, I need to be in the true church. My soul is too important. Then be willing to make this confession. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. Matthew 10:32. Jesus said, if you confess me before me, and I confess you before my Father. After that, you got to be baptized as commanded by our Lord. I gave you the scripture. What is baptism for? The remission of sins, Acts 2:38. So when your sins are washed away, Acts 22:16. It's washed away in baptism. And then when you come up out of that water, you take your first breath as a Christian. And the Lord will put you in the body of Christ, the church of Christ. You take babies home from the hospital. You take them to a secure place. Jesus take the babies of Christ and put them in a secure place. That's in the church of Christ. That's the safest place for them. God do the same thing for his babies. We're born of water. We're children of God. We're babes in Christ when we're first baptized. And so if you want to call this morning, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Brother Rob Smith in a single song. He going to sing. Are you washed in the blood? I think he said. If you haven't been washed in the blood, you can be washed this morning. What we want you to do, if you're on the call and you're a visitor, not a member of the Church of Christ, and Brother Brooks has showed you why you were confused, we had nothing to do with God, but man named Demetrius, or whatever man he was, you need to repent and obey the gospel this morning. This is your chance. And then to those who are members of the Church of Christ, remember that. Boy, we gotta keep make our confession, make our prayer request, whatever we need to do to get our lives right with God. Ask God to pray for you if you're struggling with some things. Ask the church to pray for you, rather. If you're going through some trials, if you're going through sicknesses, if you need prayer on your behalf, prayer changes things, y'all. Don't be afraid to hit 5-star on your phone and ask for prayer. This time, we're going to turn the call over to our song leader. He's going to sing a song. It'll be your chance. Hit 5-star on your phone, and we will open the call up. But Tim, we will open the call up. You'll take your confession. You'll take your prayer request, whatever the case may be. Thank you for listening to me this morning. May God bless you.